So, this is the 28th episode of the Personal Development Podcast. I'm enjoying it. I'm not going to lie. It's been getting a bit tough. It's been getting a bit tough. As you go deeper, you start questioning what you're doing. But Isaac, one of the things that you said, which I definitely feel, each conversation I have, I think, gave me exactly what I needed from that moment and definitely helped me going forwards. And that, I tried to define it as that a couple of years ago. That for me is what success is like at the PD Project.
I think challenging yourself.
Challenging myself, absolutely. Getting into my uncomfort zone and staying there and actually getting comfortable here is kind of what we're doing. And we've been getting personal. We've been getting a bit deep. That's not necessarily the aim. But I think today has to be a personal conversation. Because I'm joined by two other males. I'm a male myself. And we're speaking about masculinity. So I'm joined by Marley Gunter, who needs no introduction, but I'm going to get him to give an introduction. And Isaac, both who have been on the podcast before. But Marley, could you give us a 20-second introduction to yourself and throw in something that you haven't put there previously? Because this is like the 12th one of these that you've done. Throw us a little curveball. What do we not know about you?
Oh, you don't know. I'm obviously a frequent contributor onto this lovely project set up by the man himself. I'm a musician. I live in Valencia on the east coast of Spain. The sun's shining today. Life's looking a lot better than it used to be.
Mm-hmm.
I'm running my own record label at the moment. And I'm running a real estate agency as well. Just taking my steps out into the independent zone.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, we'll see. Just trying to back some faith, back some self-belief, back some self-love, and yeah, keep it stepping.
We'll see. Absolutely. And yourself, Isaac.
Well, it's going to sound a hell of a lot less impressive now, isn't it? But we'll go with it. I'm in my fifth year at university, studying accountancy and finance. I've known Eunice for probably 4 years now.
Yeah.
I think the first time I came on this podcast really helped me more than I think I thought it would at the time. Mm. I was in a rough place. And I think probably helped me drag myself out of it, to be honest. So
I'm pleased.
I'm kind of happy that I'm in a better place now. And I can probably come at this podcast with a slightly different view.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah.
Endings and beginnings. That yeah. Podcast was. I remember we had quite a few chats leading up to that. And I was really taken because I think it was your idea. Yeah. And you said it to me and I was like, spot on. I've been thinking about this, but I haven't been able to put my finger on it. And I think you were just talking about ending etiquette. We don't let go and move on as constructively as maybe we would.
Yeah.
A lot of times we can be attached to things that were, that takes us away from where we are now and where we're looking to go, the next beginning.
Yeah, exactly. I think at the time as well, I'd gone through quite a lot of endings and it was pretty cathartic to go over it and really find out what the fear was that mm-hmm. I was experiencing mm-hmm. at the time. Mm-hmm. And we got there in the end.
I think we did. We did for me.
I think we had talked about the fact that it was the future that was scary, not the end in itself. It's never scary.
Yes.
It's what's happening after that end that
yes.
is really scary.
That for me was one of the most powerful points that you made on that one. That really resonated with me.
But if we graduate at some point or get an actual graduation, that is technically the end, but that's not the scary bit. I'm not worried about getting a certificate, but I'm really worried about getting that job.
Yeah. The next step.
Yeah.
Today's a whole new conversation. Today is a conversation on masculinity. And I want to try and set the tone with this one because when you speak about what could be touchy subjects, I'm all about speaking about it, but I think it's wise to preface the angle that you're coming from so people know what you are saying and what you aren't saying. And I haven't really known how to do this. I'll give you a fun little story, which I think explains where I'm at with the whole thing, how seriously I'm taking this concept, and how it is what it is. It is. And this story, I'm going to need to rewind about 8 months ago. I'm on the Uniqlo website. I'm searching for the next garments. I like my clothes, mate. And I see this shirt. And I see this woman in this shirt, and I'm thinking, okay. But I know Uniqlo does this funny thing where it sometimes has female models and male clothes. I was like, this shirt bangs, puts it in the cart, buys it, gets it, tries it on. I'm thinking, I look fresh to death. Then I look at the label and I'm like, damn, it's a woman's shirt. I was like, but I don't care. I actually like it. So I kept it. I tell Marley this. And Marley goes off on one in a positive way. He was like, oh, wow, is that you, Eunice? Are you really doing that? Are you challenging gender norms? Are you pushing those stereotypes? And I was like, absolutely not. It's like, absolutely not. For me, I don't think my gender or my masculinity is some kind of ideological construct. I don't think it's some kind of political construct. So I was telling Marley, I was making quite a point, which I think is quite deep for me. There are going to be people that challenge gender stereotypes. There are going to be people that do all of that. If that's what you need to do, do it. That's not necessarily me. I would never wear a woman's shirt just to push the boat out or because I'm trying to redefine masculinity. I don't think it's wise for me, given how I am, to play around with my identity like that. What I will do is do what feels natural for me. And what I was pushing back against with Marley, and I appreciate this isn't like a criticism, I appreciate this, is making it more than it is. So today we are going to be speaking about masculinity. I don't think we're speaking about roughly half of all people on the planet. I don't think anything we're going to be saying is putting anyone into a box or saying the other half can't do this or the other half can't do that. I heard someone put it beautifully. All feelings, no facts, and all generalizations. We're not trying to be correct. We're trying to be corrected. So I'm going to invite both of you. Just speak. Just say, if you have to say all men when you actually mean most men, and you know there's a lot of exceptions to the rule, please just speak. Please just let us know how it is for you, how you view it, and we move from there. Hopefully that can get an open and honest conversation out of us, which isn't going to rub too many people up the wrong way. How are you two feeling about this? And then we'll dive straight in. Ready?
Yeah, I feel like I like that story because it does really, truly bring out what masculinity meant to you, though.
Mm.
It's like you weren't trying to push gender norms out. You were just being you.
Mm.
You were just doing what you thought was right. Shirt looks sick. All good. Like, I don't care whether it's a woman's shirt or a man's shirt. I think that's quite... That shows that masculinity, if we're going down there, is an identity for yourself. It's your own identity. It's not... It's almost hard to generalise. Okay. And the fact that masculinity has been generalised, I think, is where the problems arise with masculinity.
And we'll go in from here. Because you kind of just hit the nail on the head with regards to what are we speaking about when we're speaking about masculinity. How do I view my masculinity? I think my angle has always been... I'm not necessarily masculine. I'm not necessarily black. I'm not necessarily a Muslim. I'm not necessarily a 23-year-old. I can't live my life through all of those lenses in any given moment and then think, so therefore, what do I do next? What I typically do is just act.
Yeah.
Just be. But I think there's a lot of value that can be derived from thinking, okay, we're going to speak about this abstract construct. Which I don't want to be a yoke and a handcraft and constrictive and force me to have to do X, Y, and Z. But it says a lot about me when I can sit and speak about masculinity. It says a lot about my society as well. And I can definitely get my stuff from that because I do mold myself after men. That's what I identify with. So I'm not trying to reject the notion of masculinity. How does it sit for you, Isaac?
I think that's quite an important point. When you're talking about masculinity, now it's acceptable to almost toe your own line and be able to go with your own thing. I think that when we talk about masculinity and the archaic format it was in, even 15, 20, 30 years ago, there were almost was not a societal society wouldn't let you just be your own person necessarily. There was too much what probably would be described now as toxic masculinity. You had to, if you were a man, you acted a certain way, and if you didn't act this way, then you were weird and not and it was wrong, and you're almost not shunned necessarily, but like well, they were shunning people in society, like
absolutely
who weren't just like hard nosed grafting men who were like strong and had to be like couldn't cry, couldn't do this kind of stuff, had to be emotionally almost devoid because that's what men were. They were they went to work, they got that, they did that, all the roles were pushed towards men, whereas now I think we're in a site which allows us to be our own man, and and then thankfully we've got the luxury to be able to build our own identity around masculinity and what we think it is. So yeah, I think that's what, but we have the luxury to do that now, where I don't think when we're talking about masculinity from
back in the day,
we didn't have the luxury to do it, and that's where it's changed. I think it's in recent years as well.
Changed for the better in your experience? Because there can be a lot to gain by not having to construct every part of your identity and looking left and looking right and saying, there's my identity. This is what my father did. This is what my brother's doing. This is what my uncle does. This is what I'm going to do. I am as they are. I am a man. Do you think the fluidity that we have now and the fact that everyone gets to kind of construct for them has benefited you?
I think it's benefited me. I think it benefits society. The ability to... People, I say, I hate to say, weren't allowed to be themselves, but like societal norms were, in inverted commas, norms. You had to be like this. People were put in boxes.
Mm.
Whereas now, it's a lot more fluid. Your identity can be whatever you choose it to be.
Mm.
And I think that leads to a more comfortable society. People are more comfortable in themselves. They're not fighting against each other for their right to be who they are, because people still are, don't get me wrong, and it's still, people are still struggling with that fight, but I think agree. Now compared to a while ago, you're allowed to be more of who you want to be and who you are than pretending to be someone else or putting a mask on it. Now that fight's still going on. I think it's a good fight, but at least it's better than it was, and I think that to be truly yourself is the best way to live, because after a while, if you're pretending to be someone else, where does the line meet? When do you actually stop pretending to be someone else and be that person? Or do you ever be that person? You're always pretending. That's more of a philosophical debate, but if you keep pretending to be someone you're not, the line will blur and then you lose yourself completely.
Marley, I've got a question for yourself. Having listened to what me and Isaac and I have been saying, what do you think you bring to the table in having to bring not just yourself, but Marley, now a man, to the table?
Full accountability.
Speak to me about that one.
Like, where I'm at now in my life is there's no excuses. Not in this stoic way of like, no excuses, shut up, da-da-da-da. Like, it's your responsibility to take responsibility for the choices that you make and that you don't make, and you can sit there waiting for the world to, I don't know, listen to what you have to say and to hear you out. And that's what I was doing a lot, you know. I was angry that people weren't hearing me out and hearing my pain in the way that I needed to say, and it really frustrated me. I'm like, I'm being open, I'm being honest with you, man. Like, why are you rejecting what I have to say? Why is it getting so when I'm being honest with myself, I'm showing you it. And then after, like, the pain, the rejection, after you process it, you come to a point, I think, where it's like, do you know how to show up for yourself? You're asking people to show up for you in ways that they might not be able to show up for themselves.
You know, okay. Like, could I pause you there to gain a bit of clarity? So we've gone through this pain and rejection that was, what, you expressing something that was just general?
Just expressing, like, I feel X and Y because of this.
Mm. So being expressive in a way that maybe wasn't conducive to our father's version of masculinity was being met with a bit of, what, pushback, confusion, rejection. It wasn't being received how you fought, and that how you maybe would have wanted it to be received, and that caused a bit of pain, a bit of confusion, a bit of within you. Is that what you're saying?
Oh, thank you. I was already seeing it like that, but you've just flipped the.
As in, I don't know if I'm correct. does that what I said sound correct?
I hear that completely. Okay. Yeah. I hear that completely. Yeah.
And
yeah.
Where did we go from there?
You can be crying all you want, you can be upset all you want, but you know, the only person that can get you out of the situation you're in is yourself. So that's where I've seen masculinity is that you pick yourself up off the ground, you're on the ground, let's pick yourself back up, let's go in again. And
do you think that is a inherently masculine trait though? When you're talking about, I think me and Eunice were talking about it yesterday a little bit when we were having the preface to this chat, about how that masculinity and femininity are, in today's society, aren't necessarily the same standard put in boxes of male and females now. And how possibly those traits that are, would have been inherently feminine or masculine, and now blur the lines between all genders. So I think that, but using an older view of masculinity, that it's definitely the case of like standing up and being your own man and actually standing up for yourself. But is that an inherently masculine thing to do? Is the question I ask.
What do you think, Marley?
That just threw me into like, wow, we're actually talking about serious stuff.
Turn the corner, real. We're in now, boys.
Yeah. Come on, lock in, I'm here.
Isaac, you said genders.
Yep.
And I don't know, like, not to be un-PC, I'm never un-PC, I think everybody
has be as un-PC as you need to be. If you're un-PC, I want to speak to the un-PC in you. Okay. Hopefully we're not going to offend anyone. I haven't looked at you and thought he has horrible views which are going to make people feel bad. I want to create a platform here in which however much PC or un-PC you are, you can speak to me. So say it.
Isaac, you were saying about there are so many genders and then like flick came in my brain. I was thinking genders. I thought there were only two. Like, and not in a way of rejecting anybody's freedom to be what they want to be. I'll stand by anybody's right to do what they want to do with their body and sleep with who they want to sleep with, and your body, your freedom, in my opinion. You know, just my personal perspective is I've always just thought there's only two genders, male and female, and any branch off from that is okay, 100% do what you want to do. Why do we need to add, I don't know, I just see a lot of boxes on these forms. That's just, there's a lot of, like, 8-10 boxes.
I want to speak about this. Could I pause us? Yeah. Because I do think that's definitely one of the points that I want to touch on. So remember where you are, Marley. And I saw, Isaac, you were just about to say something. Remember where you were. But I want to almost finish the box that you opened, Marley, about this, partially because it resonated with me. You've been talking a lot about stand-up men. You've been talking a lot about there are no excuses, get it done. Isaac asked you the question, do you think that's inherently masculine? I think it's inherently masculine. I don't necessarily think it's not feminine. I don't think any of us were saying that until we're explicitly asked the question and we give our answer. However, so for example, my perspective, I grew up from the age of 2 as the only man in the house. Everyone lets you know, okay, that's quite a big thing, Eunice. They don't necessarily explain it because I may only be 10 years old, I may only be 18 years old. That's quite a big thing. And I've started to see, in particular when I came back from uni, the way in which there are vacancies and voids and responsibilities which, when I look at my mum and my sister, I think only I'm suited for. Only I'm going to solve that problem. And I regretted how I gave this answer towards the end of last academic year. I was speaking with some friends and I'd pose a question, what were one of the things that you learnt through your time at uni? And I basically said, no one else is going to do it. one of the things that I've realized that uni, you can't just sit around waiting for other people to make things happen. They're not going to do it. You kind of have to do it yourself. One of the things that I didn't make clear enough is, I think that's universal. I think everyone has a call to bring themselves and their vision, because you're only ever going to see your perspective. And I think the world needs a bit more of you and your gift. When I look at my masculinity, one of the key tenets is, if there's a problem, Eunice, don't look left, don't look right, fix it. There may be dependencies, there may be vulnerable people, there is a call to action. You are the sort of person that steps up. A large part of that is by virtue of being male. Is that something that you two can relate with?
I think it's a really tough question to ask, but I don't know if that is inherently a male thing to do.
Mm.
I've got a lot of positive influences in my life, and I think that some of us, the strongest person I know in my life is my mum.
100%.
If someone to stand up and do something, it'd be I'm not decrying my dad, brilliant, but my mum is one of the strongest people I've ever met.
Mm.
And I think I get more of my hard-nosedness from my mother.
Mm.
And my ability to keep going for my mum than I would do, and be able to stand up for myself for my mum than my dad. Now, I think this leads more to the question of, is masculinity inherently something that has to come from a man?
Absolutely not.
I think that's where we're going with this. I think masculinity for me is my own identity and how I identify and share myself to the world.
Mm-hmm.
and how my actions are prefaced in my own brain. And I don't think that's necessarily 100% comes from just one place of a masculine nature, if that makes sense.
And I'm so glad you put your finger on it, because I don't want to talk about men. I want to talk about masculinity. There's a big difference, because men are typically always associated with masculine. You get masculine females, you get feminine men. So I don't necessarily want to talk about how do all of the men act. But there is this social construct that is masculinity. And I'm not trying to invalidate it by calling it a social construct. But it is a social construct.
Yeah.
A lot of people be triggered if you call it a social construct. No, it's not. I'm a man. I'm not trying to invalidate it. But rather than speaking about men, I would actually like to speak about masculinity.
And I honestly want to, if we're going to go down this road, we really need to, I think we should try and define masculinity in as much as we can. And that's going to be impossible, because you can't define it that, but what are we really talking about when we're talking about masculinity? Are we talking about the social construct that is masculinity and the stereotypical ideas of masculinity and femininity? Or are we going down the road of masculinity for people and how we view ourselves in that regard? So I think they're two quite different things. The generic stereotypical idea of masculinity, I think, is archaic now, in my opinion. Men have to be real men isn't a thing anymore. I don't think it's a good thing either, personally.
You don't think men have to be real men is a good narrative? So you think it's positive how we've almost left it behind, or you think it's negative the fact that we've left it behind?
I think it's positive the fact we've left it behind, because I know we were talking about it yesterday. There are times where bits of the idea of masculinity, sometimes you have to bite down your gum shield a bit and push through things, and you can't always, you have to push emotions back sometimes, because there's things that need to be done, and when people are in tough situations, you can't fall back and be upset. But I think we need to leave that old archaic idea behind, because it's too much pressure on men to be this certain type of man. And going around the same way, women to be certain types of women. Do you know what I mean? I think masculinity and femininity puts people in boxes which we spent so long trying to break out of, they're trying to gauge going back into them, or the idea that they would be good, in my opinion, is not impossible. I wouldn't want to go back to a point where you had to be a real man, in inverted commas. Do you know what I mean?
I hear this.
Because it just wouldn't suit me and the way I live and the way I think about myself and my identity. Yeah. But I'm bringing it to the floor. What do you think? It's a touchy and tough subject. So
one of the things I like about Marley sometimes I can never gauge what he's going to say next. Sometimes he just comes with these perspectives. I'm like, ooh, yes, please. So I was going to answer your question, but I think I'll leave this one to Marley. If I've understood him correctly, Isaac has conveyed there used to be this said way. You were a man and therefore you had to do X, Y, Z. That was the almost unsaid but very said expectation. And Isaac has spoken from the place of, actually, there's a lot of positive in not being so constrictive. What are your views on that, Marnie? Because there's a large part of me that agrees with Isaac. There's a small part of me that is almost disappointed that I agree and feel like we're leaving something behind. I want to hear Marley's view on the matter.
My honest view on the matter is this energies, masculine energies. Is that what you can't really put a finger on? There's masculine energies, feminine energies. Like masculine energy is supposed to be like firm. It's stability, it's security, it's all of like tangibles, character, leadership, da 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 da. And then women, it's nurturing, comfort, care, and then the masculine and the feminine intertwine. And this is why I think we all have masculine and feminine energies. I don't really think it's just a social construct, really and truly. Like, I come across like the most feminine man going in certain domains and probably one of the most masculine men in other ways. It's a fluidity. So I guess in many ways people would call me gender fluid. But I'm just like...
As in, I didn't need to say that point. I understood exactly what you're saying. So I'm going to retract that statement and let you just get on with it rather than interjecting.
Like... I think of Michael Jackson, like his, he kind of embodies that intertwining. Like, he just had the long hair, he's got his high, like all of that falsetto going, and then he's going to switch into this macho, brooding, like not dominant, but just kind of energy. Mm. He was fluid with it, very just... Yeah.
I've got a question for Isaac. And in case you don't know, both Marley and I are of darker complexion. Isaac is of lighter complexion.
Possibly the whitest person in the country at this point. I'm not allowed near sun, mate. I'm not allowed near the sun.
And if we're having a different conversation, I do want to keep us on track. I'd ask Isaac about this, but I'm just going to share. One of the things I have seen from the black community is, as we integrate more and more into society, as we reconstruct our identity, there's almost a part of us that wants to reject being black. When we look at what does being black mean, we look at all of the negative and we say, I don't want to be confined to that. I don't want to have to fit into that box. That box is not me. And it's like, please don't just reduce me to just that. Like, do I have to just be black? Can we not construct this new identity? And I absolutely support that. I don't wholly support it, because there are always pros and there are always cons. And one of the cons, I'm speaking from myself as well, I've done that. One of the cons is I'm going to be leaving part of me behind if I run away from being black. Painfully. If I walk away from being black, absolutely at ease with the fact that I am black, fine. I don't see most people doing that, because if you're at ease with being black, you're not trying to walk away from it. If I draw parallels to what's currently happening with masculinity, as I said, I agree with Isaac, but part of me doesn't like the fact that I agree with Isaac. The old masculinity is dead, if you want a catchy metropolitan headline. Part of that pains me. Because undoubtedly, I'm just speaking for myself, all feelings, no facts, all generalizations, I am male. And if I look to society at what do men do? Who are men? I look to masculinity 9 times out of 10. Before I decide what I do, I also look at myself primarily. But if I'm looking outwards, I look to masculinity. And one of the things that I'm seeing is people look at what masculinity was, which is a part of them and their identity, and they're looking, and the prevailing sentiment is, that's bad, that's outdated, that's toxic, we need to progress away from this. And I'm thinking, what is that saying about how we view ourselves, how comfortable we are with ourselves and our history? And I'm speaking more than just Eunice Skeet, who started existing June the 5th, 1999. I'm speaking about men. What is that saying about the comfort that I have being a man, the pride that I have being a man, and who my granddad was, and who my great-granddad was, and what they stand for, and that longer, deeper identity? If I'm coming in, as a large part of me is, and saying, that's outdated, I think that held a lot of people back. We need so much more from ourselves. Do either of you catch my drift there?
Understand the idea that it's becoming quite commonplace now to throw away old ideals completely and throw out anything that doesn't completely fit in with societies we are now. But I'm a great believer in how I learn anything, or how I try and lead my life, is you take what you think is good personally.
Precisely.
And you leave what you personally think is bad. And you try not to let other people tell you what you should keep onto or not. You need to know yourself. And it's a hard way of living. Like, I'm only 24. I don't know myself inside and out. I'm young still. But, for example, going back to masculinity, like I said earlier, there are times where you have to knuckle down. You can't show too much emotion because there's things that need to get done. I hate to bring it up again. My brother was ill when he passed away. Like, there was times where I couldn't sit and cry with him because that wouldn't have helped him. Like, being upset, like that, like I had to be what people would probably perceive as more of a masculine man, because I was stone faced about it. I was joking. I was like, it's
stiff
fine.
Upper lip. Come on, stiff Jack, up, just stiff, get on with it.
That's what I mean. Stiff upper lip. Mm. And there is a time and a place for that. I just don't think it's always a time and a place for that. And you can
absolutely.
And taking those ideals and bringing them forward is good sometimes, but where I believe issues come about is when people try and be too stiff upper lipped about things, and to be a real man, you can't have too much emotion, you can't show this and that. And then that, in my opinion, leads to deeper issues down the road. Because there's a time and a place for a stiff upper lip, and there's also a time and a place to really sink into emotion.
Absolutely.
Any type of emotion, but sink into it and feel it and compute it, as it were.
Absolutely, 100%. Couldn't agree more. Marley, do you have anything to say on the matter?
My stiff upper lip, that come on chaps, like I used to not like it. Like, I was always a very sensitive kid. Like, my daddy was he is working class Jamaican man from inner city Birmingham, so it's not looking back, I can be like, I understand why things were the way they were. But at the time, I used to be like, surely there's another way to get this across without being so hard with it. You know,
like I said, a luxury that comes with being able to pick how masculine you'd like to be. So I think there's situations where you can't be yourself sometimes. There's stuff that needs to get done. Sometimes you have to maybe toe that more masculine line, because...
Is there a virtue to that?
As in being male and having the ability to do so? Or...
Yeah, so for example, the major healing phase that I went through in my life, I'm not going to lie, I really appreciated sometimes being able to look myself in the mirror and say, Eunice, you don't sit here and wallow in your shame. You get up and get on with it. You signed up to this thing that was life. Do it. Don't get me wrong. I also learned how to grieve. I appreciated there's a time and a place for both. And I think I struck that balance quite well. So I'm just asking you, Isaac, do you think there is virtue to some of this?
so as in some of the masculine traits. Yeah, 100%. But I think where do you draw the line with it? And like when you're talking about how, like, oh, do you feel kind of bad thinking we're losing the idea of a sense of real masculinity, the way it was prescribed as? I think, like I said, you need to take, you can take the good bits, and the good bits might be different for different people. Like, depending on the situation you're in your life. But I think that this, and that is good, to be able to take the good things that you want to take. But I think taking away the rigidity of masculinity in its the form that it was has caused a lot of people to be able to really become more at home with themselves. I know this is part of the mission of this project, if you want to call it a mission or the goal.
Absolutely.
And I think that's an important part of masculinity today, is actually being given the option to take what you want from masculinity. And that being your own man now actually is overcoming those boundaries that were set and those norms that were set, and being your own person. I think that makes, that's what masculinity probably means to me now than the archaic. It's really looking at, it's just being you. It's hard to differentiate between masculine, because the ideas are so old. It's like the, what were you going to say? Sorry. Well,
no. I was almost prepping. But definitely finish what you're going to say. I'm just putting my finger there to try and put the finger on the point of my mic.
No, I was thinking, like, when we were talking about the ideas of masculinity and femininity as ideals, I think, again, we're talking about generalizations of old beliefs about traditional roles of masculinity and femininity. I think that both sides have great positives that should be taken and used. And I think rather than talking about masculinity, being a man or being your own human, if we're going to go down that road, is being able to pick from both and morph yourself into who you want to be.
Absolutely.
And that means that's probably more of my identity and how I view the situation. Because I've never really been one to just sit in a box necessarily.
Absolutely. What I wanted to do, what came to me as you were saying that, was I was going to ask the question, are you proud to be masculine? Because, spoiler alert, I'm not proud to be masculine. I'm actually kind of ashamed to be masculine, but I'm proud to be me. So I was going to sit there and say, okay, what actually is it for me to be masculine? And I'll run through a couple of traits. If you guys can think of anything to add on the back of this, please do. So when I look at my masculinity, and a lot of these are parts of myself I'm trying to integrate properly and figure out, I don't want to just suppress all of them, because I know social narrative does make it quite explicit how they can be bad traits. I want to try and integrate them such that I can get the most me out of me in the most constructive way possible. I look at my stature. I look at my capacity for forcefulness and aggression. I look at my competitiveness. I look at my raw dogged determination. I look at my sex drive. I look at perhaps a slightly more modern one, also my vulnerability. Because a large part of me, I don't know how much this is masculine, I'm drawn to difficult things. I'm drawn to founding a project, creating a tribe, and giving people, myself especially, what we all need but don't quite have. And one of the things I think masculinity needs, as well as femininity in general, is a bit more vulnerability, in the sense that we lean on each other's when we don't feel like we prop each other's up enough. So it could be seen to be, okay, vulnerability isn't the most masculine thing. But then again, one of the things Marley started with is, who's going to step up? I view it as quite a male role to just sit there and just be like, you don't just look left and right and wait for someone to do it. Do it yourself. And I think men could do with a bit more. My mum said it in the last episode. No man's an island. And I responded with, every man's an island. Because I think to a large degree they are. And that's one of the ways in which my masculinity tells me to step up. What else?
When you're talking about men being all men being islands, I think that's part of the idea of almost like toxic masculinity. There's that old trope that men will never ask for directions on the street. Mm. That old like, well, a bit too much pride, too much this, too much that. Whereas I think that's where it goes down. The idea of that is toxic, because too many people being on their own and not wanting to share their ideas necessarily, and kind of having to be this own person, not want to share their own woes. Mm. I mean, what's the biggest killer of men under the age of 40 or whatever it is? Suicide, isn't it? Like,
how does that make you feel, Marley, hearing that? And I'm gonna almost add to that question. Maybe I shouldn't, because you look like you're ready to respond.
I was gonna say, yeah, thank you for that, Isaac, man. Thank you. Yeah, that was
for what you just said.
Yeah. Like, a lot of men don't really speak like that. You know, like,
That's for me. That's what being your own man should be, being your own man. I think some of the hardest things to do in life is to ask for help from other people.
Mm.
It's scary, because you think, like, might be embarrassed, might be struggling, like, but if you keep holding it in, like, I went down that path. I used to do that all the time. I used to just pretend everything was fine. I used to have these big emotional blowouts that I'd recuperate from, and then just keep repeating it, because I couldn't, I didn't know how to ask for help. And then but once you start and you start opening up, I think that's where you get the real growth as a human. Don't know if that's a masculine or feminine trait or whatever, we're going down that, but I think that's how I try and live anyway.
Could I have a tiny bit of an example of the sorts of things you would ask for help for? Just, or you want to ask for help a bit more for?
Sometimes just someone to listen to you and not feel guilty about it. It sounds so silly, but I went through quite a lot of loss and trauma, and being able to sit down with someone and just be like, I just need to say this, like, someone in the back. But like, I would never do that before, because that would be weak. Why would I, like, you're weak asking for help from people, like, well, this, even the school I went to, if ever I cried, it was like weak, soft, what are you doing, like, all this stuff. And I was a sensitive kid, and I basically repressed being sensitive because I thought that was the right thing to do, because that's what everyone else was doing. And now looking back, I'm like, that's ridiculous. Like, that is the stupidest thing I could have done to myself. If I'd actually like held and been my own man and properly towed my own path, I wouldn't have ended up repressing all this emotion and not being able to deal with it. Mm-hmm. I think that's why it's important to know how to ask for help from other people, especially when it comes to emotions and stuff, because if you end up backing yourself up into a hole, it's really hard to get out of. And it takes you'd almost have to ask for too much help that you don't want to ask for. And then suddenly you're just down and down and down and down. You don't really know how to deal with things anymore. I see that in my friends sometimes.
Mm.
Wow. People that have never really dealt with emotion in a way that I think is constructive leads to some, I don't want to go into details, but some really weird scenarios I've had with people. Like,
Yeah. Definitely, yeah. Yeah, I can relate to that. I've never really heard many men, sorry, I say men, people, but that speak like just to the core. Like, a lot of, I know that people are struggling. It's like, because I'm struggling a lot in my life, and I know that, like, I cannot be the only person in the world who feels like this, who struggles with this. And everywhere you, well, not everywhere you seem to go, you seem to see a lot of, especially men, putting up facades, putting on bravado, like no one wants to talk about these things. So, you know, you feel like an island. You know, I've always felt like the woman, like the Donnie that's always going to come out, making it deep, turning it into more of an issue than it needs to be, or reading into it. I'm just thinking, like, it's just, my emotions, which I think is the core truth of everything, how we feel.
Mm.
I don't care about what you look like. I don't care how big you are. I don't care what your muscles look like. How do you feel? And you probably feel like similar to how I feel, like an island. But why aren't we saying this?
It's it's a process though, I think. Knowing that you can turn around to someone and go, you know what, I'm actually struggling today, and being able to say that to someone, once you get used to it, you'd be surprised how people react to you. I used to think they'd be like, weird, what's wrong? And I had mates that were like that with me. But, I mean, I don't know, a couple of weeks ago, woke up hungover and I was like, you know, you feel a bit sorry for yourself, you're feeling a bit... However, just said to a flatmate, I was like, oh, mate, could use a hug and just like a chat. And he was like, yeah, fine. Like, it's like...
Powers, mate.
Like, I don't mind saying anything like that, because just like, it's... I'm not ashamed of it. And that's where the toxic masculinity comes in. Start being ashamed of who you are because you don't fit these norms. And that is mad.
One of the things I had quite an eye-opening perspective in second year, because I went through the ringer in second year. And there's two points that I want to raise from this. One of the things that I did midway through second year was I went to a friend's friend's talk club. There was like an event to around this talk club, and the idea of toxic masculinity came up, and I sat round and I saw a lot of, there were some students, there were non-students, I saw a lot of people, and that word, toxic masculinity, seemed to really trigger people. It triggers me to a certain point. And one of the points someone said was, please, let's not do this. Please, let's not make the connotations of masculinity be toxic. Because then you make people being themselves feel like something that is bad. I may have been raised wrong. Society may have let me down in how it socialized me, how it this, how it that. But to call it toxic almost makes me feel a bit bad in my very essence. And that wasn't a point that I'd heard made before. And I understood it. So I was just going to ask, I definitely think you look around. I haven't subscribed to a lot of it. Thank God. I didn't know why I wasn't just subscribing to a lot of the things that guys were doing back in the day and still are doing. I still feel pained when I hear it being called toxic. I can't refute anything they're saying. The points that people say, it's like I make those same points. I was just going to ask, how do you guys feel to hear toxic, to hear masculinity almost in its essence criticized in that way? And especially when a lot of the criticisms are valid. People aren't just talking about, like, there's no smoke without fire. Like, genuinely, it pains me, it hurts me, it hurts all men.
I think, again, we have to... And although we are generalising about masculinity, there are traits of masculinity that large sects of society view as toxic. And I'm part of that idea when I'm talking about how you should always be hard-nosed, you should always have a stiff upper lip, which I think... we can all agree was a big part of the idea of masculinity when we were growing up, and was obviously when in our the father's generations and grandfather and stuff. I think that has led to people who can't function properly with emotions.
100%.
Now, I'm not saying that not function how I would function with my emotions and how I would compute my own emotions. It does work for some people. My dad, for example, can just deal with emotion. I've never met a man who can just deal with emotion the way he does,
and constructively.
Yeah, and he doesn't cry about things. He kind of just gets on with life and he keeps going. I mean, we've had a hell of a tough couple of years, and the man just keeps pushing forwards. And he can just do it. He'll have a cry when he wants to cry, and do that, but he just does it. And that works for him, so it's not toxic. He's a very highly functioning person. He doesn't lash out at people. He deals with emotions his own way. But and that does work for him, so it's not toxic in that way. But I think for a lot of guys who are scared to come out and talk about emotions because of the ideals that you shouldn't do that, is where the issues lie. The people that can deal with it and don't need to talk about emotions is fine. It's when... too many guys who can't talk about it are doing things themselves which are harrowing to hear about, and it's such a sad state of affairs.
And I think they're few and far between, the people that don't really need to talk about it, don't really need
like I've never met a man like my dad before. And like, and he does, he completely fucking was just, but I've never met anyone else like that. And I think how many suicides have we heard about in Bristol? Male suicides, it's just awful. And if it, and I'm not saying all of it stems from the idea of this toxic masculinity or sect of it which is toxic, but I can't overlook that idea that that could have been me.
Do you know, I have a hypothesis.
Like, if I'd have been in a worse position in my life and not had the people around me to be able to talk, easily could have been me.
Do you ever get frustrated at yourself at how just stuck in these old ways or these ways that weren't constructive you were?
Do I ever get what? Sorry,
Have you ever been frustrated and looked back and just think, oh, why was I doing that? Why did it need to be that way?
At the time, I thought it was the right thing to do. I was ignorant, and now, in my opinion, I was ignorant to it. I understand more. I understand more about myself. I'm still learning. I never look back at me like that's awful. I look back at some of my attitudes and think, idiot. But
that's,
I can't blame myself. That's how it was, and I've educated myself, and I'm not like that.
That's one of the points that I wanted to make, and I think that person who made that point about toxic masculinity was getting at, because, again, my hypothesis, all feelings, no facts. I think I'm more accepting when it comes to femininity and femalehood than masculinity and manhood. I think I, whether or not this is constructive or destructive, I also am more vociferous when I disagree with how a guy's living his life and how a girl's living is like. That may just be because I'm a guy.
That is a big word you just used that I don't understand.
Vociferous. Vociferous is just vocal.
Okay. Like, speak up about it. I've never heard that word before.
Yeah,
sorry.
Yeah, yeah. One of the things, again, this is just me hypothesizing on the spot. You guys will let me know if it's a load of rubbish or not. One of the things I think happens is the acceptance of masculinity and the acceptance of men is a tiny bit more fragile. I wouldn't want to look at myself and the person that I was negatively. One of the things I've been doing some reading psychologist. One of the things I've been saying is we thank that role, that outlook, for what it did for me at the time, which was keep me safe, which was make sure that I was accepted by the group. But we say, here's the extent to which you did serve me. You don't necessarily serve me anymore, so we can go our separate ways. That's what I think you're getting at in both when you say, no, I didn't necessarily look back at myself with frustration as I was doing what could be conceived as toxic things. I'm putting words in your mouth. And when we're picking and choosing what parts of masculinity are appropriate now, what parts of masculinity serve me now. And I really like, it's refreshing, the line that you've taken with it, because you've mentioned toxic masculinity. I haven't seen you degrade masculinity or devalue masculinity. That was the long convolutional point that I went all round the roundabouts to try and make, but it's finally out there.
I think it's like going out to looking back and stuff like that. You, if you're not educated and haven't been, like, which I wasn't about this kind of thing, none of us were when we were younger, I don't think. If you're not educated about it, how can you blame yourself? There was no, like, how can you blame yourself for acting like that? That's how you acted. Like, that's how, you didn't know any other way. You can't blame yourself for that. Now, if you were still acting that way now, knowing all, being an intelligent person, being able to, with all the resources we have available, looking at yourself now and acting like that, well, in my opinion, I wouldn't do that anymore, but it might work well for other people. My situation's different to everyone else's situation. But I think, and that's why I never look back on myself in those kind of situations to be like, in a negative light, because that was how it was. I tend to think if you've educated yourself and look at it and still act like that, well, either you think it's the right thing to do, in which case it might be for you or what, or you are then really hiding from yourself. When it's when it's when you start doing things, and this kind of happened in college for me when I walked away from some people, is because you start realizing that you're pretending. And then you go, oh, actually, you make that decision. Do you toe the line and be in this group, or do you not and hedge your bets? And that's the real tough decision.
I do think it'll be, I'll be interested to get your views on this, Marley. I do think that's what a lot of people do when they lose themselves in their, what they identify with. I think a lot of people don't know who they are, don't know what works well for them, don't know how to listen to, I have all of these needs, I have all of these wants, I have all of these ways in which I'm naturally inclined to go, and instead just think, what do people do in this circumstance? What do men do in this circumstance? What are the men doing around me in that circumstance, and follow suit? And I think you can lose yourself in whatever it is that being a man is, in whatever it is that being a woman is, in whatever it is that being straight or progressive or whatever it is. And kind of like the example I came in on, I don't know how unique, it seems somewhat of a unique perspective I think I've had for a long time, is I think if you know who you are, if you know who you are and you're prepared to stay authentic to that, it doesn't matter what masculinity is. It doesn't matter what men are doing. You've reached a comfort within yourself and your boundaries, and you will just do. And when masculinity has a crisis, it doesn't necessarily mean you have a crisis, because you are never playing the role of being male. You are playing the role of being me. What do you think about that, Marley?
I didn't really think about all this stuff, to be fair. Like, it's really unpacking, like, what being yourself really means. I didn't think people were doing these things, like, hedging their bets. Like, this is like, wow, like, I didn't...
There's a lot that, like, for example, you mentioned, one of the things that you wanted to mention was sexuality. At some point, I remember just looking around, and it was like, encounters with the opposite sex is just, there was like this switch that got flicked on in our generation once we reached a certain age, yeah. And it was almost just like, challenge accepted. Can you just have as many dealings with the opposite sex as possible? And that almost became a part of your masculinity. And without thinking, a lot of people just accepted the challenge and hopped on. It was like, this is what guys do. Without actually thinking, hold on, but where am I at? Hold on, but is this conducive to where I want to go? Is this constructive? And that's just a very crude example of how you can listen to whatever it is that the role is, the masculinity is, the box that you put yourself in, without actually listening to yourself.
Obviously, yeah. As a preface, yeah, I always say this, Eunice was the... just the alien to me. Coming into uni, like, the occupation for most men on the agenda is... Like, we all know what the agenda is. It's to score, it's to go home with a lovely young woman. And... it's treated as a sport. And I've personally in the past felt pressure to play the sport. Like, this is what being a man's all about. Like, you've got to be in it. You've got to be in it to win it. Like, it's... honestly, yeah, it's a... it's really a sport, isn't it? You know? And you're thinking, like, this is the game of human beings. This is how we're interacting with one each other. Like we're just things to toy with. We're just things to just play around with when we want, get our, I don't know, our 10-minute, like, run out. And it's like, surely there's a lot more to it than just, I don't know, securing numbers, increasing body counts, being, I don't know, papi chulo, whatever you want to call it. It's just, that's what, you know, a lot of men do feel the pressure, you know, to be.
So if you don't listen to that, where do you go? because there is pretty much a fully fledged identity that is convenient. It's just handed to you on a plate. This is what men do. They go out, they win the bread, they come home, they kiss their wife good night, they sleep. If it's a Friday, go out. If there's a game on, they do it, they do this, they do that, they speak a certain way. As much as I do think it's hugely constructive to not have to be shackled to that, and Isaac says, it's a privilege to be able to define what your masculinity is, what you want to subscribe to or not. It does open up a big, like I'm reading a book on Islamic culture and cultural identity. It's a step out of what I usually read. But this person's opening my eyes up, something I haven't necessarily identified to. You get a lot of your sense of self from your tribe. To not get all of that from that, to not look and just think, here's masculinity, here is men. I'm not just going to mindlessly adopt that. I'm going to forge my own lane. Opens up a lot of unanswered questions that could be a nice 5, 10/50 year crisis on of itself to find your own answer to. And to define who am I as a person. How have you dealt with that? Because part of this is why I push back against...
That's a big question.
This is part of the reason why I push back against almost the implication, and I'm not being critical at all of what you said. Almost the implication that this was some kind of gender statement when I put on a shirt. Because I don't have the capacity to do that. Like, if everything I have to do is some kind of political statement that is dictating who I am existentially and how I want to live and how I want to redefine society, oh, I'd rather just put on clothes, genuinely. I'd rather it just literally be the act of me clothing myself in what I want than in this moment I'm redefining everything about who I am and what society is and what I stand for. And as positive it is, like, I don't have to be shackled to all of the pitfalls that the previous generations of men have. I also have to construct it all myself, which can be very difficult. Previously, we used to know why men were valuable. There are a lot of threats out there. Men had to protect people from threats. When you did, you get your applause. Did you keep your family safe? Fantastic. Women never used to go to work. You had to put the food on the table. Do you support your family? If you did, fantastic. You're being a man, fantastic. Did you get on with it? Were you valiant? Were you X? Were you Y? Were you Z? Do you have your lineage? Nice hat family? Lots of descendants? When is the question? All of these women are kind of self-sufficient. They don't necessarily need me to put food on the table. Okay. I'm not going to hedge my identity as I am the breadwinner or I bring to my family like that. When... a lot of these women don't need protecting. There's police. Hopefully we try to live in a civil society with as few threats as possible. Okay, I don't necessarily need to step up in that way. There's so many pools which we used to, okay, I tick that box, I am male, that's my identity done. And now, Marley, I was speaking to you a couple of months ago saying, I understand when a lot of women say, I don't need no man, I'm a strong, independent woman. You actually don't need me. You don't even need to know the man to have a child. You can go to a clinic. You can never even have to encounter a man to have a child, have your family, put the food on the table, raise your kids. Is there not a sense of redundancy there that leaves me thinking, how do I identify? I have to kind of put all the jugs or pieces myself and then feel content with me in this huge part of my identity.
All I see there, personally, is a double positive, in my opinion.
Okay, yes, please.
The strives in the way females are treated in our society and their rights, which I still think is being pushed forward, which I agree with, is brilliant in itself because it shows equality, and I feel equality in our society is unbelievably important, but also has allowed men to redefine masculinity. It's a double-edged sword in a positive way.
The question was, how are you doing that? Because it's a mighty task. It's a mighty task where... I don't know. So from my angle, I've kind of just, you just get on with it. You just do what you're doing. But a lot of the discussion is, I genuinely do think part of the reason why masculinity can be said to be in crisis is because there used to be that contract with society of, you're a man, you do X, Y, and Z, and then we applaud you and you've done your responsibilities, fin. Now it's, what does that contract look like? That used to be a big part of us. I'm going to grow up like my dad did and do this like my dad did and support my family like my, and that's a huge part of you. How have you been redefining it for yourself? Because it's a big challenge.
I think you are right. The whole social, you're almost right. I'm going to be born, I'm going to go to school, I'm going to go to university, I'm going to find a wife, I'm going to have a job, I'm going to have two kids, I'm going to live in a nice house in the countryside somewhere, get old, downsize, get a dog, die.
Yeah.
And then after 80 years, and you're done now, and you might as well just be like, sign that at the start. Yeah, nice, I'd put your initials there, and you're done.
Yeah.
Sick. 80 years down the drain. In my opinion. Or, I don't know, I think that without that contract, that makes life so much more interesting, surely. I don't understand that, like, I don't know, when I look at my dad now, it's like, I don't disagree with the way he lives his life. I think he lives his life in a perfect way, but like, I look at the way he acts more than the way, and the way he, I look at his identity rather than what he's done, if that makes sense, and the way he acts in situations. When I look at like a role model for masculinity, I always look at my dad because that's where I get almost all my ideas from. But I don't think, I understand as well that my generation has a different relationship with masculinity to the one he does. Mm. So we're going back to the idea that I take what I think is the right thing and I don't take what I think is the wrong thing from him. But this is all, again, a luxury because we're now in a time in our lives and time in society where we can redefine it. And when you, I think the idea that having no social contracts is always brilliant. You can truly be whatever you want to be.
So what do you want to be?
That's, I don't know.
But no, that's the whole point of the question because I'm not saying it works for everyone, but I'm going back to just as generalized as it possibly could. I'm a woman. I be beautiful. I find good husband. I raise good kids. Life works well. I die. My kids live on. I'm not saying that contract worked perfectly. In a lot of ways, it didn't. It was very constrictive. But it's also like how they say, go to school for 18 years. You kind of just, okay, I don't have to forge everything myself, which can open you up to a lot of anxiety. On the male side, there was a lot more, this is who you are, this is what you do. And it's like, as you look at how people leave education, and then it's like, we're not going to tell you who you are. We're not going to tell you what you do. Panic attack, panic attack, panic attack. When you apply that to masculinity, and I say, you have this 100-kilogram frame. When do you ever use it? To protect people as you may be, you would have. I'm not trying to say your life would be fantastic if there was like wolves that you just fought off for your family every day.
Just going to go co-op with a knife just in case the wolves come back.
Like. Yeah. You used to go out there, use your, I don't know, I'm just going to say, gumption, put food on the table because people, your family, needed you to. When you can't fall back on those contracts, at the end of the day, I'm going to look at myself in the mirror and I'm going to say, who do I want to be as a man? I know I do just think, what's the right thing to do in this moment? And I do it. But again, the construct exists and it's so integral to me that I will look at myself in the mirror and think, where do I bring value to society as a man and by virtue of being a man?
I think that's where society's changed.
Because you don't think that happens anymore?
I don't think there's a necessity to being a man to change society. I think that we've gone past the point where only men can change certain things in society.
That's absolutely not what I was trying to say. Just in case I gave the wrong impression.
No.
But I was speaking specifically to men, to speak only to men. I'm not. There's a whole conversation to be had with women which would mirror this. I hadn't touched them not to say that it's only men that can do this, but just because I was being specific for
I think that's what the idea of contracts not being around anymore, that gives everyone the same ideas doing the same things. That's why, well, we're talking about protecting people. Women join the army, women join the police force. That wouldn't have happened 50 years ago. Mm. So these roles that were generically probably more male-oriented aren't anymore. The same way that men stay at home husbands kind of thing that would never have been something that would happen in the past can happen now. I think, I don't really know where I'm going with this, but
trust me, I was there 10 minutes
ago. I'm trying to thread through it as best I can, but I think without those contracts, without men inherently doing things like you said, like being breadwinners, that opens the world up for everyone. And I think that is in itself, for me personally, a lot more of like a cooler idea than having a contract. I don't live I don't like the idea of a constricted living, if that makes sense, like or a prescribed living. I'm very, I agreed to this podcast like 36 hours ago. I love that. Mm-hmm. Like, do you know what I mean? But I think if anything, stepping away from masculinity in itself has given us the ability to do whatever we want and not be prescribed to this contract, which I think, like I said, it's great. Everyone's been given the equal opportunities to do, well, that's not true, but we are striving towards a society where everyone's been given equal opportunities to do things.
Absolutely. Marley, how does that sit with you?
This is game changing. This is, I don't know, I've never really heard, I didn't know this was going on. I don't know, maybe I'm just not reading the news, but it's just that I didn't know society was changing. I don't really think of society. Like, maybe I'm a Thatcherite, I don't know. But I definitely agree with her statement that society doesn't exist. Like, so it's just, I've never really, in my frames of masculinity, I'm only learning what these terms are now. Like, I didn't know there was a whole game. Like, the Matrix, more or less. What we're talking about is leaving the Matrix. Like, leaving the...
Take the blue pill, mate, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, leave the prescribed way of doing things because we've maxed it out there. There's nowhere else we can go. It's time for a new way of...
I don't know if either of you had anything to add to that, or if there was a topic that you thought you'd speak about or you wanted to ask about that we haven't touched on so far.
I think I was just thinking about the idea of masculinity and possibly the idea that some part of masculinity is inherent to males because of our fundamental physiology. Things like, and which parts of masculinity was a privilege to be male as well, which I think needs to be recognised. The idea that, like, we have high levels of testosterone and compared to most females, I can turn on levels of aggression quite, not quickly, but like, we can be forceful and, what's the word? Oh, I can't think of the word, but which is inherent to men because they have a larger physical presence most of the time. Like, that is part of masculinity that I wouldn't want to lose, but is also a large negative and a large positive to being a man, which I think is where some of the less obvious struggles around masculinity come from. The ability to be physically stronger and more aggressive can be good and was obviously good hundreds of years ago because that's how we dealt with stuff. Which is why
it pains me when I hear people saying, no, I'd never want my sons to do martial arts, or you're just turning into like knuckleheads or whatnot, because I've always done some kind of physical sport. I have a frame to be, it just feels so natural. And I wouldn't want society to look at all of the ways in which men use that for wrong and try and say, there's just so much testosterone, it's just so stupid.
But surely that is a more...
That's what I'm speaking about.
It's a better way of doing it. Like,
this is what I'm speaking about. We obviously have a lot to leave behind, but I don't necessarily want to go to bed with the tone being men just need to drop the outdated view of being big, being forceful, being aggressive, because there's virtue to it. And I think if I did that, I've lost part of myself in that ideal. I've lost part of myself in wanting to reject that because we didn't have enough examples in society of how to use that constructively rather than destructively.
It's the constructive use of that, which is where I think the line's drawn. too many lads on weekends, have too many pints and have scraps in the street, which obviously is an inherently masculine thing to do, but obviously is detrimental to society as a whole and a dumb thing to do. Whereas I think having that ability to be a bit forceful and have that little bit of aggression and to be able to call people out for things and or call yourself out for things, I think is a real positive to that and should be taught as a positive thing. Same way that I think that about like women who have, like, because obviously masculinity isn't necessarily a male dominated trait, but some of it is. When women have like forceful and have that proper constructive, I can't think of the word, it's not aggression, it's
assertiveness.
That's one. To be assertive, not aggressive, I think is quite a luxury to be a man to be able to do that. Yeah. It's something that I'd like to keep as...
That's something I'd like to keep, because I can be very assertive. A lot of the times, like, I just pay it back. I feel like I'm holding myself back because I'm like, society doesn't really have the best relationship with men being too assertive. You can take it too far. You can intimidate people. You can this, you can that. That's what I mean about when I'm thinking about, some of this is just intrinsic to me. The outdated model is outdated to some degree. I don't just want to tear down all the fences. Because there's that saying, when you tear down all the fences and you totally reconstruct what it means to be X, Y, and Z, you then realise why you put all of the fences up to protect you from all of the beasts that were on the horizon in the first place. But we do need to change some of these fences, because I'm trying to get from A to B, but these fences just seem to be a maze, which is getting in the way of everything.
I think final point for me, maybe talking about masculinity and its role in identity and my identity as a person, I think it's like any project, it needs to be reevaluated on a regular basis. There's going to be times in your life where you're going to might have to be assertive, might have to be aggressive, and having that in you and that being part of you is important, but not overusing that. The same way there's some times where you're going to have to be softer, and I don't say soft in a negative way, don't get me wrong, be like more
integrated
with your own emotions and feeling
100%.
It. Whereas I think, but that's where I go back to the idea that you shouldn't completely refute an idea off the top of it. You should take bits of it that you think are right, and if none of it's right, completely refute it.
100%.
But you should take what you can learn from it and then revisit it, because you might need to learn something different. Your life might change, and you know, if I end up on the streets of God, do you know what I mean? If I end up being homeless on the street, I'm probably going to have to toughen up a hell of a lot and be more what people might say is originally masculine. And that's
what's powerful about what you're communicating to me is Marley's been speaking about it a lot. I want to be there for the person that I am rather than the person that I want to be. And as you're saying that, I almost get this image of you're going to have needs, you're going to have inclinations. We have these, there's more than two now, but these two frameworks which kind of just schools of thought of this is how people do things. You don't have to be completely one, you don't have to be completely the other. You don't have to have some kind of political ideology and put yourself in a certain position. I think it does come round to a better understanding of who you are, what your natural inclinations are, where we can look for constructive examples of how people fulfilled this void or this vacancy or this calling, and integrate that into more of yourself is, I think, quite a nice message that you've left for me with Isaac. Anything to add to that, Marley?
I was just going to add, in my own journey of masculinity recently, it's been, I don't know, a forcible toughening up. Like a forcible just toughening up. And I managed to, like, as I've been out here, gain contact with a British war veteran that was an old flatmate. And for whatever reason, he was able to see me right away for whoever I was. Like, right there, he saw right through me, and he told me, son, you're gonna get a good education while you're here. You're a bit too naive. You need to toughen up. You need to have a harder shell. And I was thinking, oh man, what are you talking about? It's all peace and love. Everybody's all good, man. It's, you know, what, you're paranoid. And then things go pear-shaped. Absolutely crisis. And you realise, there's a reason why I need that harder shell. There's a reason why I need that resolve. There's a reason why I need that toughening up. Because if you don't have it, well, mate, you're getting eaten in the jungle, aren't you?
That's quite anecdotal of my lesson with masculinity. Because like, you come of age where you hear, okay, it doesn't necessarily serve you. If I stray too far from it, I have actually noticed I'm missing a lot of what propped me up in a constructive way. But if I don't stray, or I don't find my own path or find my own way through these ideals, as Isaac, I think, has communicated very well, I'm also not serving myself.
No.
It's got to be you, haven't you?
That's
what it boils down to.
I like that a lot. Women are we leaving it there?
I was going to say, women are equal. Like, I think a lot of the times, like, male emotions tend to get disregarded and not heard or validated, and accountability just seems to go out of the window, you know, and always leaves the men in a tough position because they feel like they can't speak. You just go down YouTube and it's just all of these sad stories of these men having their hearts broken or being absolutely just thrown in the absolute ringer. Like, a lot of the times there's a lot of women out here that are hurting men in serious and profound ways. And a lot of the times we don't feel comfortable to speak our stories because, oh, men are the perpetrators. We're the enemy. And I'm thinking, hold on, I'm a human being. You've just put me through the ringer. Not to hold you, like, to blame or whatever, but what about my humanity here? I don't care about being a man. Like, my heart's just been shredded. I'm lost. I'm looking like, come on, where's the humanity? Where is it? And it drives us to the bridge. It literally drives us to the bridge and we jump. We jump. A lot of the times because of the opposite sex. If you ask what drives most men to the brink, it's women. And then you drink away your sorrows, you smoke into...
The combination of women, and again, not acting from a perspective of what do I need here, rather than what does this role do, what is the done thing,
and not having
what do I need,
constructive outlets for dealing with that. And this is where I went back to whether it's a woman that's put your brains this way, or you lost your job, you failed this, your car got towed, whatever it is, and however many things add up, it's the inability to speak through these emotions which causes these issues, I believe. And the constructive outlets for men to be not judged by what they, for having those emotions, which I think is what going forward needs to be a change in masculinity. And that's what we're seeing, I think. We've got more charities, there's the idea of mental health is becoming much more of a spoken about issue. So yeah, I think I found myself a lot more of a man in my own opinion when I started talking about my emotions to other people.
100%.
When I had the ability to be able to do that and not be embarrassed for even talking about it on here, like, I have no embarrassment about knowing people knowing I've cried about stuff and needed a hug home. Like, it's what I needed, that's who I am. I think that makes me more of a man, makes me tougher than I would have been before. Because I know deep down that I'm strong in my own way, and I know who I am. But I've got the luxury of being in a part of the society where I can do that, and I can
and be accepted
for that. Because it's not easy for people if you can't be accepted for it. Like, why? If we go back to the original, what you were talking about. Oh, we can't. The original idea, like, oh, you want to fit in. the same way I did at school and all that stuff. But yeah, it's a sad state of affairs when men can't show their own emotions for fear of other men thinking they're weak. Not great.
Boys, unfortunately, I'm going to have to head back. But yeah, I thoroughly, thoroughly enjoyed that conversation.
Went pretty deep.
I'm going to enjoy the edit as well, because you get a lot listening to it back on the second time.
Yeah.
But yeah, thank you very much. This has been Uniski, joined by
Marley Gunter
and
Isaac Rawcliffe.
This has been the Personal Development Project. Until next fortnight, enjoy the rest of your day. If you do want to hear more from us, head over to www.pdproject.co.uk or at pdprojectltd on social media. That's been that. Thank you very much, boys.
Sweet.